that on the board, and the district pushed for expansions at Crestwood and Stevens School, that's precisely what happened. Those two schools got additions that weren't truly necessary for their neighborhood populations, and consequently, all of the Allied kids ended up then getting bused to those two schools. That's now those two schools paired with the Allied community that used to be at Thoreau. So, and now they're bused further away because we had schools with space.
Now we've got Leopold's closer to Allied, so presumably some of those kids are then going to go and be, and they will be suddenly at Leopold School. That's best guess, don't you think?
Well, it would make sense because it's their neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner. It's their neighborhood. Why would you take Allied Drive kids and bus them clear across town if you now are going to expand a school right around the corner? I don't know if Leopold families, or quite honestly, if the whole consideration of Leopold expansion even has Allied in the picture.
Welcome to Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 1-877-235-1310 or email Vicki McKenna at clearchannel.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Welcome to the show, the Tuesday edition of Upfront. I'm Vicki McKenna. Lots and lots of things to talk about on the program today. I'm spitting mad about so many things that, well, it's just going to be a very energetic show. Let's just put it that way. School board member Lori Kubsa is my guest. We're going to talk about these cuts to the music programs coming if, in fact, this is the threat that the school board is handing down, that if you don't pass the referenda, they're just going to hack and slash, particularly the strings program. Well, Lori's actually been working on ways to solve the problem on the board, so she's going to come on the show and she's going to talk about that. Jed Babin is going to be on the program as well. He is the author of Inside the Asylum. He is the former Undersecretary of Defense, and he's also going to be commenting on some of the latest outrages regarding the United Nations. Also on the program, we'll get into some city issues. Brenda Conkle making a name for herself in the news again. Yes, City Council, former City Council President Brenda Conkle deciding to weigh in on yet another controversy issue at the city level. The city of Madison poised to provide low-interest home loans to illegal aliens. We'll talk about that. Ethan Nadelman will also be my guest. He's the executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, and there's a brand new report out showing, well, showing the widespread failure of the war on drugs, and we're going to talk about that in addition to trying to troubleshoot some of the problems and perhaps offer up some new ideas, assuming bureaucrats will listen to them. Representative Steve Castell will also be my guest. You know, we were talking about the Fair Employment Act in Wisconsin preventing businesses, preventing employers from checking backgrounds and using somebody's criminal record to decide to either hire or fire someone. Well, he's actually proposed a measure that would put restrictions on exactly, I guess it would be more accurate to say that he would allow employers to use some of the tools that perhaps they couldn't use under the Fair Employment Act with a new bill that is before the legislature. And we're also going to get into the latest outrages of illegal immigration. And I'm telling you what, there are many. Many. But first, let's start with the top news story of the afternoon. And that is a task force that was investigating possible voter fraud in Milwaukee has released some of its findings. U.S. Attorney Steve Biskupic says investigators, yeah, they did determine that indeed there was voter fraud in the Milwaukee area for the November elections. Eat that, Governor Doyle. I recall Governor Doyle saying, we don't even know if there's a problem. There doesn't appear to be a problem in Wisconsin. Well, that joint task force that involved the FBI, the Milwaukee Police, the Milwaukee County District Attorney, and the U.S. Attorney's Office did determine, in fact, that there were incidents of voter fraud. Now, they can't determine whether there was widespread conspiracy to commit voter fraud. The way the Milwaukee County Elections Board kept records prevents them from actually determining whether or not this was any kind of organized conspiracy, but here's what they found. Investigators found more than 4,500 ballots cast in Milwaukee than registered voters in Milwaukee. 4,500 ghost ballots. Who do those ghost ballots belong to? We don't know. Investigators found 100 instances of suspected double voting. And more than 200 felons by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's count. 278 felons that they were able to determine voted improperly, but they were unable to do a complete investigation because they could not get Social Security numbers to attach to the name. So it is absolutely impossible to make sure the people that are under that the votes that were under question. It was impossible to put a name and make sure that those were, in fact, the people who were considered felons just because they couldn't confirm their identities. So there you have it. The FBI, the U.S. Attorney, the Milwaukee Police, and Milwaukee County District Attorney have determined double voting, inaccurate voting registration lists. Oh, yes, and registrars who falsified names on registrations as well. I forgot to add that one. In addition to 4,500 ballots being cast, more ballots being cast than were registered voters in the area. And that's just Milwaukee. Governor Doyle, if in fact the Senate version of the photo ID bill is brought before the legislature and it passes again, as it would pass again, if in fact the people who are the Republicans who did propose this in the legislature do decide to do what they have threatened to do, and that is reintroduce it, will you sign it now? Will you sign it now? The governor says, oh, I don't want to sign photo ID because it's going to drive people away from the polls. Yeah, it's going to drive people voting illegally away from the polls. And I don't see a problem with that, do you? I think at this point, and we haven't even seen the full version of what the task force has determined about Milwaukee. This is just preliminary, a preliminary release here. It was a quick news conference that was held at 1 o'clock, so we haven't had time to actually dig into all the stuff that they have. I'm sure that Greg Borowski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will probably get into this in the paper tomorrow or even perhaps later on this afternoon. So you might want to check the jsonline.com website just to see if there's anything updated on that. But since it does appear that we have widespread voter fraud, at least in one city in this state, and we haven't determined what's happened in Dane County, where 1,200 votes are in question, or Green Bay or Racine County. Because remember, this was only Milwaukee. This wasn't even Milwaukee County. This was Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee. And we're talking about 4,500, 4,600, 4,800, 4,900, about 5,000 votes right now in the city of Milwaukee. And that is what they can absolutely determine. 5,000 fraudulent votes. 5,000 fraudulent votes. Is that enough to finally pass a photo ID measure in Wisconsin? How about we put it to the voters? How about we pass it through those successive legislative sessions and we put it on a ballot and we ask the people of Wisconsin if they like the idea, if they're comfortable with the idea that 5,000 people who shouldn't have been voting voted in Milwaukee. Ask them if it makes them feel comfortable that 5,000 votes in Milwaukee canceled out 5,000 other voters around the state of Wisconsin. Does that make you feel comfortable? Governor Doyle, does that make you feel comfortable? Does it make anybody feel good that, in fact, 5,000 people were disenfranchised in this election because we can determine, at least in one city, that there were that many cheaters? That many cheaters. And by the way, there were registrars who knowingly registered false registrations in the city of Milwaukee as well. Not a widespread problem, though. We don't know if it's a widespread problem. We've only investigated Milwaukee at this point. 5,000. That is astonishing. 5,000 people in Wisconsin had their votes canceled out. So 5,000 of you, we can just pick your names out of a hat randomly. We can say, Vicki McKenna, your vote didn't count. And Dave McCann, your vote didn't count. And a lot of other people in this state whose votes didn't count. And Joe Smith, your vote didn't count. And Helen Johnson, your vote didn't count. Because 5,000 people decided to cheat. Governor Doyle, your challenge is to come up with some kind of explanation for why now, after it has been determined that criminal activity apparently happened in Milwaukee, your challenge right now is to explain why you would again oppose photo ID and what your solution to this problem is. It's time for the purple finger test, I think. I think it's time not only for photo ID, but we also institute the purple ink rule in Wisconsin. So not only do we have to show ID, but not only will we have to prove we are who we say we are, but we're also going to have to actually prove we only voted once. Because this is appalling. This is getting to the point where it's Washington State appalling. It's getting to the point where it's historical Chicago appalling. 5,000 people who just might as well have stayed home on election day. All right, we got to take a break. This is Upfront.
Harness the power. The power. Of knowledge. With Newstalk 1310 WIBA. Start your day with Madison in the morning.
Coming up on Madison in the morning, more arm twisting for an increase in this state's cigarette tax. We'll take a look at that. Jeff Allen, what's shaping up to be a pretty stormy forecast. Jay will be back on the roads trying to get you to work on time. And Rhino of the Day Sports as the Brewers look to get Lyle Overbay back. It's all coming up on Madison in the morning.
This is Elmer Childress for All Faith Funeral and Cremation Services. Ever wonder why funerals cost so much? Overhead and excessive profit margins. All Faith is changing that. It's called the All Faith Fair Pricing Concept. We're eliminating these expenses and passing the savings on to you. Our typical funeral cost will save you between $2,000 and $3,000 when compared to other fine funeral homes in the Madison area. Compare for yourself. Call All Faith Funeral and Cremation Services at 442-0477.
Decorating days on now are saving days at Finer Furniture. Decorating days mean big savings on furniture, on drapery, on floor covering. Decorating days when you get the same small town friendly help with your home decorating everyone knows is Finer Furniture. Save big money on beautiful carpet or vinyl flooring. Take advantage of great savings on sofas and dining sets. It's decorating days where you'll find
the finer brand.
Open Thursday evenings till 8 for your convenience.
Finer Furniture, it's not just a name.
Save on the finest home furnishings during decorating days at
Finer Furniture.
It's not just a name.
The Masters is unlike any other, and now the Bergamont Community and Golf Club is unlike any other as Dane County's premier public golf course. Take it from the course designer.
Andy North for the Bergamont Community and Golf Club. Your tee time is waiting. Simply call 835-6900. That's 835-6900. When you call, inquire about our exclusive permanent tee times. The Bergamont Community and Golf Club is just a short drive away.
Check out their website, thebergamont.com. That's thebergamont.com.
Find that perfect gift for the golfer in your life? Jane for Nevada Bob's. How about a gift certificate?
It's an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Dwight.
Yes, yes.
Are there any injuries, ma'am?
My leg hurts, my arm hurts.
I do understand. I will be contacting emergency services.
If your airbags deploy, OnStar receives a signal and calls to check on you.
Police.
This is Dwight with OnStar. I'd like to report a vehicle crash with airbag deployment on West 106th Street.
We'll send police and EMS out there.
I'm scared.
Okay, I'm here with you, ma'am. You needn't be scared.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Okay, you'll be just fine. Is that the police arriving now, ma'am?
Yeah.
All right. Well, please know that we are here whenever you need us.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all OnStar safety services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Could a parent be involved in the murders of two Illinois girls? The latest from Zion at 2:30 on News Talk 1410 WIBA.
Get live in-depth team coverage of today's top local stories every half hour. Now Upfront continues on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. Those are the numbers to call. We're also online at WIBA.com. 5,000 votes. well, that's what they've determined thus far. The investigation continues. It is not complete. This was a preliminary news conference by the various law enforcement agencies that have been investigating voter fraud in the Milwaukee area. They didn't address any of the other places that have also reported voter fraud. They also did not address the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's contention that there were also same-day registration cards that were processed, even though they were incomplete, missing addresses, missing names, things like that. There were 1,300 of those. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel actually has some additional votes that have been called into question as well, but since this particular investigation has yet to address those, at least officially, we'll just leave those out of the mix. We know for a fact now that approximately 5,000 votes shouldn't have been cast in Wisconsin. Let's go to John. You're on News Talk 1310.
Yes, Vicki. In essence, I agree with your argument, but who's going to stop the cheaters from doing a switcheroo with washable ink?
Oh, my.
What we need is a magnetic strip on our driver's license to swipe the driver's license on a magnetic card reader, and then you get your ballot, then you vote.
I love that idea.
Thank you.
I love that idea. And if you don't have if you haven't been in the state long enough to get a magnetic strip on the back of your driver's license, then you cast a provisional ballot and we investigate whether or not you are who you say you are. I love that idea. Just like a credit card reader, just like the ATM machine, you just swipe the card and it registers your number. The person looks at the driver's license, says, "Yes, that is John Smith," and away we go. I love the idea because at this point, doesn't this just make you 5,000 of you could have sat home in November. I mean, I don't know why anybody wouldn't. This does not exactly inspire faith in the election process in Wisconsin. We get a governor who seems to think everything's rosy. I appreciate the phone call, John. Thank you very much. It really is pretty amazing. You don't expect it in a state like Wisconsin, I guess. You expect it in Illinois. Go look at what's going on in Washington. I mean, this is rivaling what's going on in Washington State right now with the gubernatorial race. The only difference is they actually stole an election, and it might be overturned in a court challenge. That's the difference. But we're talking about actually probably more votes in Wisconsin disenfranchised by cheaters than were disenfranchised in Washington State, where, in fact, a governorship could change hands based on a court challenge to the election results there. I like the idea of a magnetic strip. I also like the idea of getting away with same-day registration. Enough of that. If you're not responsible enough to register to vote, if you're not responsible enough to know when the election's coming up, by the way, there is one coming up. You have to go to the polls on May 24th. May 24th. If you haven't been paying close enough attention, if you have no business going to the polls, you know, quite frankly, if you can't figure it out a week in advance, then I guess I don't see why on earth we would want you voting anyway. If you can't get it together and get yourself registered in time. And if you do happen to land in the state, if you do happen to land here late, we'll let you cast a provisional ballot and we will determine if in fact you did that legally. But I love the idea. Go further than photo ID. Put a magnetic strip on it or put some sort of biometric on it that we can scan to make sure you are who you say you are. Because this is getting to the point where it's ridiculous. This is getting to the point where it's embarrassing. And I'm telling you what, if it's 5,000 today, and counting, by the way, we're not done with the investigation. What's it going to be when it's all said and done? The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has identified 12,000 questionable votes. 12,000 questionable votes. That is in the Milwaukee area alone. What's it going to look like when it's all said and done? And Governor Doyle, are you going to finally get on board? Are you going to finally decide this is not just administrative problems? Because this is not administrative problems. 4,300 more people voted in Milwaukee than even were registered to vote. And we're not talking about same-day registrations. Those have been eliminated from that pool. 4,300 people who don't exist voted. They haven't even released the information on the addresses that didn't exist either. That hasn't even come out yet. Wait till that one hits. You know what? I don't even want to rely on the governor. I say Jeff Stone and Joe Lipum, take it to the people straight away. Just take it to us. Because our elected officials are letting us down. They're letting us down at the city level. They're letting us down at the state level. They're definitely letting us down at the federal level. Just put it to the people. This is too important to politic. Dean, you're on News Talk 1310.
Hey, Vicki, I think when you refer to all Democrats, you should not call them Democrats. You should call them the cheaters.
Cheaters.
The cheater party of Wisconsin.
I'm going to call Governor Doyle Chief Cheater.
Yeah, Cheater Doyle.
Yeah.
I think that might stick. But you remember in the presidential election of 2000, how they talked about voter disenfranchised people and, you know, every vote didn't count and, oh, we've got to make sure everything is so stinky clean.
Yeah, we got to make sure every vote counts twice.
Yeah.
That's what's kicking me off here because I got disenfranchised in this last election.
Well, we got to make sure is that the illegal votes are counted. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, for heaven's sakes, we got to make sure the illegal votes are counted because they're not voting for our guys. That's why we got to make sure the illegal votes are counted.
Well, they found it interesting with this investigation. They said there is no pattern here. Well, I want to know who registered these people because I would assume most of these were probably the late registration type votes. I'd like to see them do a little investigation as to how far these votes go back, and who signed these people up to be registered voters anyway?
They actually do have six registrars that they've identified who falsified registrations. They have six registrars they've managed to identify on that. The reason that they're having a hard time identifying a pattern is because the record keeping is so abysmal there that they're having a problem identifying whether there is a conspiracy to commit fraud. There's certainly a pattern. 278 felons illegally voted. We've got 4,300 people who don't exist who cast ballots in the city of Milwaukee. They don't exist, and yet somehow 4,300 votes managed to get into the tally, into our Wisconsin, state of Wisconsin tally. There's pattern. It's just difficult to prove conspiracy because they have such lousy record keeping. Real quickly, I'm going to get to Sean here. Sean, you're on News Talk 1310.
Hello, Vicki.
Hi, Sean.
Hi. I'm very disappointed in the results of the investigation also. 5,000 votes don't count. But sending it to the voters isn't going to make any bit of difference because you have these cheaters out there which are going to mess up the vote and not allow it to get through.
This is what my friend Brian Schimming likes to call a 70%er. You can't cheat that much. That's almost him. That's too bold. They'd get nailed doing that. We got to take a break. This is Upfront.
Everybody makes promises.
This won't hurt a bit.
Please continue to hold, and we'll be right with you.
It's very reliable. This guy's a steal. At Gutter Topper, we deliver on our promises. We're so confident that we even put them in writing with our Gutter Topper Top Drawer Service Pledges. Gutter Topper Gutter Protection Solutions guard your gutters against clogs, keeping everything but the water out. Leaves, pine needles, acorns, even birds. Eliminating gutter cleaning forever. Guaranteed. And Gutter Topper is strong, attractive, and custom fit to your present gutters. Guaranteed performance from both our product and our people. That's Gutter Topper. Gutter Topper. Gutter protection installed, promises kept. Call 1-877-MY-TOPPER or visit guttertopper.com.
Call Gutter Topper of Madison today, 608-221-2569, and get $200 off a complete installation. Gutter Topper. Gutter protection installed, promised kept.
You already know that MidwestAirlines.com is the best place to find the lowest fares on America's number one airline. But now through May 12th, MidwestAirlines.com is the only place you'll find special sale fares for travel through December 17th. Book and buy at the new MidwestAirlines.com, and with a short trip to Milwaukee, you can fly Midwest Airlines Signature Service to Minneapolis for as low as $79 each way. And our Saver Service with low fares and legroom offers special savings to leisure destinations. One-way travel to Fort Lauderdale starts as low as $119. To purchase tickets, visit MidwestAirlines.com. Seats are limited and Sunday travel is not permitted at these special internet-only fares. 7-day advance purchase and other restrictions apply. And don't forget about Midwest Airlines vacations. They're a great way to get away with your family. Take off online and then take off on America's number one airline. Midwest Airlines, the best care in the air.
American Players Theater bound, stop in at David Heine's Dining in Black Earth before or after the play.
If it's happening now, you're hearing it now.
This is News Talk 1310 WIVA.
At 2:30, partly cloudy, 72 in Madison. Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Miller. The police investigation in Zion, Illinois continues into the murders of 8-year-old Laura Hobbs and 9-year-old Crystal Tobias, friends and second-grade classmates at an elementary school a few blocks from the parks where their stabbed bodies were found yesterday. CBS's Cynthia Bowers reports.
The police investigation appears to be centering on 8-year-old Laura Hobbs' father. He was recently released from prison and had just rejoined the family. He is the one who found the girls' bodies early yesterday morning, and he apparently has been with police ever since. That's more than 24 hours now being questioned.
Meanwhile, worried parents escorted their children to school after the gruesome discovery of the two slain girls. Reporter Jennifer Donnellan has that.
There were parents and police posted on every corner. They were escorting the children into the school. Many of the children, if not all of the children, were escorted by their parents into the school. You could tell by the looks on their faces that they were very upset.
Locally, a crash near DeForest over the noon hour has left one person dead. The wreck happened in the 4,000 block of Binburn Road around 12:15, and the victim was reportedly pinned in the vehicle. Investigators are trying to figure out what caused the accident. $99,000, that's how much overtime will be paid to the officers who worked on the Mifflin Street block party April 30th. Madison Police Chief Noble Ray tells WIBA News that overtime wouldn't have had to be paid if the event had been held on May 7th as originally scheduled. He says he's working to prevent a similar scenario next year.
My understanding is that we will probably be looking at some of the same circumstances in terms of the academic calendar for next year, so we need to start the discussions earlier.
Block party organizers urged the city to move the date this year because the traditional date coincided with finals. A sophomore from the UW-Madison is fighting for his life at a hospital near Milwaukee today after crashing his bicycle during a race last weekend. 20-year-old Matt Wittig was injured Saturday while riding in the race in Muskego. It's the second time in the past year he's been seriously hurt in competition. Wittig is an officer for the UW Cycling Club. The forecast from the News 3 Weather Center for the remainder of this afternoon. Turning partly sunny, breezy, mild, a high of 74. Increasingly cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms developing after midnight. Look for a low tonight of 55. 72 and partly cloudy in Madison. Listen online anytime at WIBA.com. I'm Jennifer Miller.
Get live in-depth team coverage of today's top local stories every half hour. Your local news authority, 24/7. News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Need some extra cash?
Need new tires?
Get both! Just get in your vehicle and head to Westtown Monona Tire and get a new set of tires and a $50 Visa prepaid card when you purchase a new set of four Michelin passenger or light truck tires. Westtown Monona Tire is your home every day for the most competitive prices on Michelin, BF Goodrich, Uniroyal, Continental, and General Tires. So save yourself the time of shopping and save money. Get a $50 Visa prepaid cash card when you purchase a new set of four Michelin tires from Westtown Monona Tire. Westtown Monona Tire at the corner of Gammon and O'Dana Roads, Madison.
This moment is brought to you by TDS Metrocom. For more moments like it, call TDS today. We'll prepare a complete analysis of your business phone and internet usage, walk you through it, then give you a free companion airline ticket just for listening. No obligations, no pressure, just a free report on how your business uses phone and internet service and how you can cut out the waste. And just for reviewing it, you'll get a companion air ticket good on any airline to any place in the continental U.S. free. Call TDS today at 1-877-TDS-FLY-7. That's 1-877-TDS-FLY-7 for your free report and companion air ticket. New business customers only. Some restrictions apply. Call 877-TDS-FLY-7 for details. And relax. TDS Metrocom. Clearly different.
You're having that dream again. You know, the one about owning a John Deere lawn tractor.
Hey, wake up! It's true. The MHI Open House is this Saturday, May 14th in Monroe. You could be riding away in green. Enter to win a new John Deere L111 riding machine only at MHI Days. John Deere credit reps will be on hand for instant financing. Test drive any John Deere lawn tractor and receive a medium blizzard from DQ. Enjoy $1 hot dogs and $2 brats. MHI in Mount Horeb in Monroe. Your John Deere store. And more.
Liberty Mutual. It's more than insurance. It's insurance in action. For auto and home insurance, contact your local Liberty Mutual office. Liberty Mutual. It's more than insurance. It's insurance in action. Liberty Mutual. Push it real good. The GM hot button is back and hotter than ever. Right now, get $1,000 in hot button bonus cash. See your Pontiac dealer now through May 31st. Visit gm.com/hot button for details.
Exercise your right to freedom of speech. Call now at 321-1310 or toll free at 1-877-235-1310. Or sound off on today's topic on the web at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310, WIBA.
321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310. Those are the numbers to call. And Lori Kubsa from the Madison School Board, newly elected board member, is my guest, and she's already gotten to work here. Happy to see, by the way. You're endeavoring to save the strings program, because the strings program, this is the music program that is beloved, literally beloved, throughout this district. It's on the cut list. It's just gone, fourth and fifth grade strings, if in fact these referenda don't pass. And it's true, it's gone. I mean, that's what they've decided to cut. In the event that the referendum fails, and quite honestly, I hope it fails, and Strings is gone, what do you do with a program that people literally love? Lori, you've come up with some kind of compromise. Let's hear about it.
Well, right now, the way we handle music in fourth and fifth grade is that students have both general music. They have half an hour twice a week of general music. And then students that opt to take strings have 45 minutes twice a week of strings instruction also. And so for strings instructions, they're pulled out of their regular classes and they have the strings. And my proposal is that you make an option for fourth and fifth graders that they can take either general music or strings. And what that would do would be allow them to have that option. It keeps the strings programs for the kids that really love it. And it also then eliminates the pullout program.
So instead of missing some class for the classes, for the music classes, they would not be missing class because general music is already written into the day's schedule.
Right.
Okay. So they would have the ability to choose between the strings program or general music, and they wouldn't be taking both. It would seem that if you're taking strings, general music is something perhaps you would not necessarily need. Let me ask this question. Obviously, it's going to mean that we're going to see probably a reduction of music teachers.
Yes, I think that would be an unfortunate result of it, but you know, I need to look at it from the kids' perspective. That's really where I'm coming at this from. And from the kids' perspective, I think having the ability to continue this program, being able to take strings, is really what has to be number one.
And the parents, actually, I've actually seen a number of emails from the parents whose kids are involved who have observed strings, who actually believe the program helps their kids. It helps their kids in other areas of their academic achievement as well. So I guess I'm wondering, why throw that program on the just on the chopping block, knowing it is so popular with the parents? Why not try it? I guess I don't understand the thinking that automatically sacrificed that, and that forces you into a position where you're going to have to choose between, a couple of teachers and education for the kids.
I think one of the reasons it's put on the chopping block every year is that because it's a pull-out program, that means essentially the district is paying for two sets of teachers for that child for that period of time. They're paying the regular education teacher where the child could be getting classes, and they're paying the strings teacher. So that's one way the district sees is that they can just not pay the strings teacher. They're already paying the regular ed teacher, so they see it, I think, as kind of a duplicate financial commitment to that child.
Do the general music students also pay the fee, the $250 fee?
No.
So would the string students still be required to pay the $250 fee?
Oh, I think the fee is $50.
Or $50?
But I think that's a real question of whether they should be paying that fee.
So if, in fact, this goes through, this something like this goes through, you'd probably see this happening without a fee. I don't know why
that's
I thought it was $250.
Like
I think that's what that was actually just in an email that a parent had sent me. Could be she had a couple of kids in. So you're talking about reducing the financial impact on a parent, also keeping the program. In the meantime, we're talking about some music teachers who have to go begging. And I know that they're always, you know, that I feel bad for the music teachers because some, you know, it's either the kids or it's the teachers in this particular case. So I guess I'm not sure, you know, why the district would want to put anybody in that position.
I also think we should look at phasing in that change. And so that would eliminate a little bit of the hardship on the teachers.
Phasing in the change how?
Well, I mean, one thing is whether we expand our music to 45 minutes twice a week, the way it is now with strings, as opposed to 30 minutes. The other thing is, and this is unfortunate, too, at schools, is that because the block of time that the special teachers teach is being reduced, you don't have your music teacher at one elementary school or your art teacher. You don't create that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether there's a way that a 0.9 teacher can still be allowed to stay at that school and not, you know, fill in 0.1 somewhere else.
What about some of the other things that are on the block as well? Talented and gifted positions are also on the block. I mean, we're talking about, actually, as I looked at the budget yesterday, a pretty serious reduction in talented and gifted programs. You know, that seems to me another thing. I mean, why automatically go to the kids? Why automatically reduce strings? Why automatically get rid of the Parent Community Response Department? Why automatically get rid of the talented and gifted school support positions and some of the talented and gifted programs? I guess what I'm asking you as a board member, and maybe you can answer me because you have a fresh perspective, is it seems to always come on the backs of the kids, always. And I know that you've got a budgeting process problem where you've got the administrative budget being done without any indication of what's going to happen with the operating budget or anything like that. But, I mean, for heaven's sakes, can we not find some efficiencies enough just to at least keep the talented and gifted kids occupied and keep the kids who like to play violin still playing violin?
Well, and we do have some administrative positions open that people have either been promoted or that they've left their position or whatever. Those positions are open. So, you know, I would propose that we leave those positions open and that we freeze that. So essentially we reduce the number of administrators we have by a couple. And we'll see whether the other board members are willing to do that. I've proposed that. Also, there's, you know, purchase services that we have, and I would really like us to take a hard look at whether those things make sense. Another thing that I've looked at has to do with the amount of sub time that we spend, substitute teacher time,
mm-hmm.
where we pull the teachers out of the classroom for professional development and hire substitute teachers to teach those kids during that amount of time. I'd like to see us relook at that model and whether we can't be doing professional development in the classrooms instead of pulling the teachers out all the time. That's about a $1.5 million cost just for those substitute teachers for professional development time.
All right, so we got $1.5 million bucks you identified in that one sentence. We've got the couple of administrators. What are we talking about there, a couple of hundred grand?
Yeah, I would say about $250,000, yep.
All right, so $1.75 million that if you just did those two things, Strings is what, about a $500,000 program?
Right.
Okay, it's about a $500,000 program. We could have kept Strings, and I'm not sure about the talented and gifted. I mean, I personally think that you want to keep around your talented and gifted people, and you know, conceivably some of that money could also go and help that out. Also, of course, had we had the referenda vote in April and not blown the extra $90,000, that could have also gone to fund a program as well.
That's right. And just I want to step back a little bit on professional development, because that is important. We don't want to take away all of our professional development time, but certainly I think we could look at reducing the amount of sub time, and my proposal was reducing it by a third, so that would be $500,000.
The open administrators right now, presumably those are going to be filled, and let's assume that they're kept open and you've frozen that. Can you do that now?
Yes, because we don't have contracts for those people.
So that is something that there is a little bit of wiggle room in the administrative budget that could help out here.
Right.
How many board members are on board with that idea?
Well, we'll find out tonight, because that'll be one of the topics that are discussed.
Okay, so you're going to discuss coming up with this idea that you would consider offering Strings as general music, as an option for general music instead. That's going to tick off some teachers. You're also going to talk about holding some administrative positions open. Can you still deal with the sub-time issue now?
That's another thing that on the agenda to talk about tonight.
So potentially all three of these options can be dealt with right tonight. You could conceivably decide to limit the amount of sub time or reduce it by a third. You could conceivably do that tonight.
Right.
And you could conceivably hold these administrative positions open tonight.
Right.
And and then you could also, in principle, decide on the Strings program tonight. excuse me, Lori, I've got a frog in my throat. I'm hoping you see some people show up at the board meeting and talk about and at least express their opinions on some of this stuff, because those are, at least those two financial options are pretty common sense. That's not stabbing anybody in the heart. And could potentially stave off some cuts that not anybody really wants to see at this point.
And from my perspective, it's, you know, when we don't fill vacant positions, we're not eliminating jobs. When we're reducing sub time, we're not eliminating jobs. It's time that we can address, I think, cuts that we can address that aren't affecting people's lives.
Is anybody, the support staff teachers that work with the administration that aren't actually in the schools right now, there's a number of those positions. Is the board willing to look at that as well and to determine if, in fact, they're really performing, they're really doing the jobs they're supposed to be doing? Like I said, I don't want to cut teachers, but if they're not with the kids, is the board willing to look at that as well? That seems to be something that you can still actually address.
A lot of those teachers are in the professional development area.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm talking about reducing subtime by a third, what I'd like to see is some of those really highly qualified teachers that are providing professional development to other teachers actually co-teach maybe for a day. with a teacher or an hour or two and get training that way. So, you know, are people willing to talk about reducing those teachers? Maybe, but I guess I would first like to see how we're going to use those teachers if we're able to change our develop our model on teaching and learning.
And you have to determine how those teachers are being used right now. So, I mean, maybe they're being used to the fullest extent of their efficacy, and maybe they're not, but that's something that the board hasn't asked in the past.
Right.
So that's something that you actually can, you think you can get through all of these things tonight at the meeting? I don't think
well, they'll
can.
Be on the table, but we'll, it'll be interesting to see how much people are willing to talk about them.
Now, in the realm of the strings program that we're talking about, the music program and the option that you have proposed, which, you know, is certainly not set in stone. It's an idea to be debated. How do you have people on the board who are willing to be open about that? I know that Johnny Winston, for instance, was talking about maybe moving that to an after-school program, putting that into the community services fund, which certainly is an option, except that still the money's got to come from somewhere, right?
Right.
So is that, I mean, you know...
Do I think people...
Let me ask, are you getting some support for any of this stuff?
I'm getting support from parents. I think that will be really important if this is something the community supports. Then I think the board may support it.
And that's kind of key, is if parents show up.
Right.
That's what needs to happen, because it's going to inspire you, and it's going to inspire other board members, presumably. But, well, you know, you're in for a long meeting, I think. I hope a lot of parents show up, especially the parents of the strings kids. And I think the parents of the talented and gifted kids need to show up as well tonight. But I appreciate your time today, Lori. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Vicki.
And thanks for thinking it through more than a lot of board members have. We got to take a quick break here. This is Upfront.
The most important part of a balanced information diet.
News Talk 1310, WIVA.
Okay, so what's my day look like?
8:50, review floor plan. 10:15, scout for site. 11:10, apply for loan. 12:20, request permit.
Can we skip that?
Perfect. We can squeeze in checking on the site crew. 2:15, review electrical. 4:25, plumbing contractor. 6 p.m., zoning meeting.
Do I at least have time for a cup of coffee?
Right after you unclog the toilet.
Again?
Well, then, of course, you have to fix the coffee maker.
You do a lot to keep your small business running smoothly. Shouldn't your wireless company? At U.S. Cellular, their dedicated wireless business advisors will take the time to learn about your company's unique needs, then recommend the best plan for you. Plus, try U.S. Cellular for 30 days risk-free, and you'll understand why U.S. Cellular is known for its industry-leading customer loyalty. For the right wireless services your small business needs, just call 1-866-USC-4BIZ. That's 866-USC-4BIZ. At U.S. Cellular, we connect with you and your business.
Imagine you're relaxing. Your wife comes in.
How many times do I have to ask you to mow the grass? It's not going to cut itself. What, do you want me to get on my knees and pull it up blade by blade?
What you actually hear.
How many times do I have to ask you to mow the grass?
Your wife continues.
And there is no way you are going out with your friends. Put that golf club down. You will be taking the kids to and from practice.
You hear.
And there is no way you are going out with your friends.
You've got racing on your mind. We believe the best course of action is to get down to the Milwaukee Mile for Champ Car ARCA Weekend, June 3rd and 4th. For tickets, call 414-453-8277 or visit MilwaukeeMile.com. Champ Car ARCA Weekend at the Milwaukee Mile.
And have you forgotten my sister's birthday party on Sunday? Oh my gosh, you forgot. You did forget. I can see it all over your face. Well, I am telling you.
We're there for you. The Milwaukee Mile, 100 years and accelerating.
Colby Gallery, replacement windows made in Wisconsin for Wisconsin weather.
Cameras on buses sounds pretty good to Madison Metro. We'll have the story at 3 o'clock on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Get sound medical advice from Dr. Deanie Dell. Weeknights at 11. Now more Upfront with Vicki McKenna on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All right, so if in fact two of Lori Cubs' ideas are agreed to in principle tonight by board members in the Madison School District, we could potentially stave off, we could easily stave off the cuts to the strings program. That's not going to be that difficult. But we could potentially stave off some of the cuts to the talented and gifted school support programs as well. And, I mean, you certainly don't want to sacrifice your very, very bright children, do you? No, of course you don't. So to see the cuts in the budget to the talented and gifted programs, I thought that was quite disturbing. I don't know why you'd even go there. That would be the last place you go, is the talented and gifted program. You want the kids who are exceptional to be as exceptional as possible. I also don't know why you always go to the strings program for the cuts. Always, always go into those two programs, because both of those programs are very popular with the parents. Parents who have talented and gifted kids want their kids to continue to get the attention and the education that they're used to. And, of course, the kids, the parents of the kids in strings love what it does for their academic achievement and love that the kids love to participate. It teaches them responsibility, teaches them a number of different things. So here we have Lori Cubs, a brand new set of eyes on the board. And this is saying nothing ill about Ruth Robarts, because I have no doubt she's probably thought of these things as well, but she didn't have any support on the board. She says, here's what we can do. Just a couple of ideas I'm just going to throw out there. Let's see what the board thinks about them. And by the way, my prediction is the board will not get behind Lori's ideas tonight, because what they want you to think is that they don't want to get behind these ideas. They want you instead to go to the polls. Their thinking is that if, in fact, they make sure that we scare the snot out of parents with these programs, if in fact we tell the parents that we're going to make their smart kids stupid, and we tell the parents that we're not going to let their kids practice violin any longer in school, then they will go and they will vote yes, and they will not force us, the board, to look into the problems that are innate, that are absolutely endemic to the system. And that's what needs to happen. That's why you need to go to the polls on May 24th and send a message to the board. You need to tell the board to figure it out, to get with, I mean, to actually budget like real people, budget like real businesses budget, and stop behaving like, you know, there's some sort of shady deals going on behind the scenes. So here we've got a $1.5 million support staff budget. Let's assume we cut it by a third. We've pretty much covered strings. We have covered strings there. And then we've got the two administrative positions that have not been filled that are going to be filled. But if, in fact, we freeze those, we freeze out about $250,000. Now, I'm not sure how far that will go to the talented and gifted programs. I have no idea. But it seems like it might have the effect of staving off some of the more concerning cuts to the parents here. Your parents need to show up, and you need to stand up, and you need to tell the board, this is what you want. These are two pretty common sense ideas. Or you can go with the idea of offering strings as an option as opposed to a separate program. That's going to hurt some teachers. Now, we don't want to hurt teachers, really, right? And we don't really want to hurt the kids. At the same time, we don't want to keep socking it to the taxpayer and not getting serious about the budget process. There is a way to find a happy medium here. Lori Cubsa, in a little bit over a month on the board, has managed to come up with a couple of pretty good ideas. Bill, you've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, hey, Vicki. You know, I was listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, the board really doesn't want to solve this problem, because the board sees these two programs as relatively small numbers of parents who they're going to tick off. But we, you know, they want to be able to show the public that they're doing something to cut back on the funds at all. It's so bad, but we've got to cut the funds. These board members don't care about the special or the talented and gifted or the strings program. They're using this strictly for political
power. Yeah, products. You know what? And don't forget, the first place they went for cuts was to the kids. That's the first place. Not the last, the first. We got to take a break. This is Upfront.
The music on your radio isn't smoothing out the rumples of a tough day? Well, let this rush hour traffic give you time to think about a refreshing end to your workday by sinking into your own Sundance Spa from Benson's. Those reflexology jets under your aching arches, the soft lighting you choose yourself, the quiet of a quality spa. Are you ready for a Sundance Spa? Come see us, the spa specialists, at Benson's, just west of Madison on the Beltline. We make it summer all year round, and it's on sale now.
It's free. It's fun. It's UW Health's Prevent Event, a family safety and injury prevention fair at the Align Energy Center's Litchburg Park. Bring the family and see how easy it is to be safe and injury-free. Pick up a free child's bike helmet from Trek Bicycle Store while supplies last, or stop and talk to the many safety experts on hand.
Hi, I'm Brett Gabe with the Trek Bicycling Store of Madison. We'll be there, and we hope you and your family will be there, too. Join us at the third annual Prevent Event for good fun and entertainment. You might learn something about preventing injury that you didn't know before.
Bring the kids and explore every emergency vehicle under the sun. Fire engines, search and rescue vehicles, the med flight helicopter, or just sit back and watch emergency demonstrations like the Jaws of Life or the third annual EMS Olympics.
I'm Brian Berkland with the Town of Madison Fire Department. We'll be there along with all kinds of emergency professionals from around Dane County. So bring the family and join us for a day of good fun, safety tips, and entertainment.
UW UW Health's Prevent Event, Saturday, May 21st. Free admission, free parking, 10 a.m. till 3 at Align Energy Center's Litchburg Park.
The City of Chaos Tour is coming to Sun Prairie. Hi, I'm Vicki McKenna, and I'll be broadcasting my show live from the Ammo Box in Sun Prairie this Thursday from 2 to 6. Come on out and see the huge selection of military and assault-style weapons at the Ammo Box. And now through Thursday, stop in and register to win a brand-new Savage semi-automatic 22 with a scope. You must be 18 or older to register. We'll pick the winner just before 6 o'clock Thursday evening. Shop the Ammo Box at County Highway N and Highway 151, Sun Prairie.
Spam. Computer viruses.
Every day, businesses like yours are under attack. And there's only one thing that is guaranteed to stop it. The Barracuda Spam Firewall from Barracuda Networks. It's a device that installs in 5 minutes or less and stops the spam and every virus, guaranteed. Barracuda Networks is so sure of their amazing device that they'll let you try it for free. Just call 888-ANTI-SPAM or go to BarracudaNetworks.com. 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM or BarracudaNetworks.com.
Hey, it's your friendly energy propane here with... Sharon from Vermont writes...
Propane, do you like to read?
Do I ever, Sharon. Especially cookbooks. But when you have a propane cooktop, it's hard not to love cooking. Propane heats instantly and has greater temperature control. No wonder 9 out of 10 professional chefs recommend gas for home cooking.
Learn more about propane's lasting value at usepropane.com. Propane. Exceptional energy.
Coming up after the top of the hour, Jed Babin, the author of Inside the Asylum, the book on corruption.